Well, we're going to begin a new teaching series, but yet it's really sort of connected, I think, to we had talked about growing up spiritually, and we're going to talk about training the human spirit, and really this has to do with growing up spiritually, except this specifically deals with us in an areas of what to do, because there's things you need to do so you could. We talked about things that a person who has developed spiritually, what they need to know, things that they need to know. And really, what we're going to talk about here is the things that you do to learn to gain this knowledge, of things that you do and practices. Kenneth Hagin has a book, Training the Human Spirit, but I'm going to use things from his book, but also there's things that the Lord dealt with me specifically when I got born again and started listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, and the Lord used a number of different things to begin to teach me on what to do in things that I had already understood and knew, and started telling me things that how I could learn to really, from the standpoint of if I want to develop spiritually, things that I already knew, and if I would put certain principles to work, that it would help me in that area of developing spiritually. And it did really work. I mean, it works. And it does. And so the Lord had taken me to the Word on these things. And so we're going to begin to look at these things about training the inner man. When we talk about, when we taught on growing up spiritually, we talked about the inner man, our spirit being, the person on the inside. excuse me. In the book of Proverbs talks about this, because we're going to talk about it, which says concerning a natural child, but this can be related to us spiritually as we look at spiritual children in development. In Proverbs the 22, and in verse 6, is a familiar scripture. I'm sure you've heard this scripture. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart with it. And I want you to see, it says to train up a child. It doesn't say to teach a child. It says to train a child. It's about training. And this is hugely important. Well, if we would take, it's just like when I was a spiritual baby. Now, when I got born again, I was 30 years old, but I was a spiritual baby when I got born again, even though I was 30 years old. So really, if I needed to be trained up, really, in spiritual things, in the same manner, you'd have to train a child. So what I needed was training. Is what I needed to have was training. And so that was one of the things of an important part that I needed to do. Now, in Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, in verse 4, the scripture says this concerning a father concerning a child. And here it says in the New Testament, Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And see, when we think about things of training, usually we think about, well, teaching, but really there's areas of training. They have to be trained. Someone must be trained. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, use these scriptures in starting out here, because even though we're talking about this, these references are to physical young children on training them, but we can use them in reference to being a spiritual baby in the same way, is to be training. So people need to be, here we find out the children need to be trained. So from the standpoint, spiritually speaking, we would need to be trained. And we'll find out as we go along in this teaching. But in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the Apostle Paul writing here, he's writing to Timothy. I'm going to start at verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote and said, but you have carefully followed, this is Timothy, he's telling Timothy, followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now I want you to see this. He just told Timothy that Timothy had followed, he said, you followed my doctrine, my life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, all these things. He said, you followed this stuff. You followed in line with these things. He had done this. Now, and in fact, Paul talks that really, Timothy, he was a father to Timothy, and Timothy was his son. So, through the things, Paul, really, Timothy wasn't just taught things. Timothy was saw and was trained in a manner of life. He was trained in a way to live by his following Paul. Now, it goes on and says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Oh boy. You know, Brother Hagin used to talk about, use a scripture where it talks about, you know, being blessed and prosperity. And it says, you know, that people would do that. Jesus made the statement, and Jesus said that he told the disciples, you know, that because they asked, we left everything. What are we going to get? He said, you're going to have fathers, mothers, and houses, lands, and persecutions. And he said, you know, you don't ever have to believe for the persecutions. They'll come. He said, you might have to believe for the lands. He said, don't worry about the persecutions. They'll come. They happen. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? Anyhow, but he says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, did you hear? He's a saved man. Now, he told him that these scriptures that he had known and been since he's a child, he says that these holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation. In other words, people can get born again and never be wise for salvation. In other words, they never get to live in the salvation. They're born again. They're a child of God. But he's telling them they'll make you wise for salvation, not just to get saved. Because Timothy is surely already saved. He's a pastor of a church. Is Paul writing to him like he needs to get saved? I don't think so. But see, wise for, in other words, he's telling him that living in this salvation and walking in this thing requires him the things that he had learned from the beginning, all this stuff, not just what's being showed now, the stuff from back the beginning. You don't ever forget the beginning stuff. The things that you trained and other things that come up on. Because he goes on, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not just having, you know, knowledge of things, he's equipped. In other words, being equipped means you can actually do stuff. You can do things. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing these things, one of the things that I want you to understand, the word trained, just looking at the definition of, we use the word to train. The word train has a number of definitions. It could mean, you know, a locomotive with cars. You could be that. I don't think that's what Paul was talking about somehow. And I don't think that's what was talking about training up a child. I don't think that's what it was. To train. But training has the idea in here, because this really covers a gamut of things on its definition. It says, to teach someone the skills needed to do something, such as a job, to give instruction to someone. It says, to be taught the skills needed to do something, like a job. It says, to cause someone or something to develop an ability or skill. To form by instruction, discipline, or drill. To teach so as to make fit, qualified, or proficient. Gee, that's what Paul was sort of talking about there with Timothy, wasn't he? He says, to make prepared as by exercise for a skill, for a test or a skill. Now, so in other words, when we're talking about this training, this isn't just about, you know, you can get people set and listen to something in teaching, but never really get training. They're never taught skills. They never do these things of taught how things work and how to work them. People have to practice them. So understand this about developing spiritually. I remember as a young Christian listening to teachings of Kenneth Hagin. I remember, I practically owned about everything he put out on tapes back in those days. I mean, I would buy the series and that stuff, and I belonged to his club thing, and you'd get every month stuff, and but I would listen to teaching, and there's one thing that I learned about Kenneth Hagin, and I was always amazed because I found that majority of people missed it completely. Because I would listen to his teaching, and he would talk about, tell his stories, and people always amaze these stories, but I would always listen to what it was involved in him to be able to do things that he did. And there's one thing that I learned from him. It required him to do a lot of stuff. I mean, when it came down, he couldn't be a casual Christian. He couldn't be sort of lackadaisical about his study life. Brother Hagin would stay up all night studying and doing stuff and things like that. I mean, he was really into what, he was doing. But, he put huge amounts of time and effort and things to do, to accomplish things and learn things spiritually. And there's one thing that is dealing in this area to really, and I cannot find scripturally there's any other way to do it. I don't know how any other way to do it. I learned this over time as listening to him. I learned that it really requires things to become spiritual. It's generally, I don't know, maybe most people were born in a family that was naturally inclined to spirituality, where just that's the way the family went, and so the kids were trained. I wasn't. We were in a Christian home, but there wasn't a lot of spiritual development because they didn't know. They were taught a lot to live good and do all that. And that was nice. That was good stuff. That was good things. But for spiritual development, it wasn't there. It wasn't. So we weren't really started from child to be really trained how to operate in things spiritually. To me, when I started off, this was a whole new ball game. This was this was an all new thing for Ed. I hadn't been there. And learning it, it's like learning any new skill that you come over into. And it's just like anything you want to learn new, it requires a lot of effort and things is looking up. Just like we were talking before we got started in the areas of computers. There's some times that I've had to sit down and take a long period of time of looking things up to finding out and studying things to find out because stuff I just didn't know. And I'll find out and study and find out that a lot of the people that said they knew didn't know. A lot of these people consider themselves expert. We're not experts at all. They were in their own mind. And I do not claim to be an expert. So I'm not claiming that. Not in that area, for sure. But I can read and study some things and find some things out. But it does require some things. One of the things is dealing with this area, and we're doing in this introduction, this opening here to this is because really developed spiritually will require, I learned this, time. It's going to require effort and what may seem as monotonous repetition, really to gain the skills that you need to operate in the spirit realm. It's continually repeating things and repeating things. Now, I didn't figure all this out myself, understand this. I was taught now some of these things by the Holy Spirit. You folks have heard me talk about already where when I was a young Christian, the Lord spoke to me. And when I first got born again and talked to me about my military training. And he told me that the way that they taught me concerning military tactics and really survival and carrying out missions and stuff, would be useful for me for the training for spiritual development. Now, he didn't turn around and say, now you need to go down and go in the basic training thing down here. this is an interesting though idea because when a person goes into the military, the first thing they send them to is a place called basic training. we don't do that from the standpoint of Christianity. Is Jesus said, go make disciples. Disciples are not made by people who haven't enlisted. And I'm not talking about being born again. People get born again and never enlist. Jesus talked about the fact of, talked about counting the cost. And you don't ever hear this, hardly ever did I ever hear anybody ever say anything about people, getting people to come to Christ, ever talked about them becoming a disciple, if they wanted to. They always tell them, oh, come and accept Jesus, you'll get saved, and God will, yeah. But Jesus didn't say, go get people saved. Jesus said, go make disciples. Disciples are people who are trained in an area. And the word disciple means a follower of Christ. Well, let's be serious. Does most born-again Christians follow Christ? No. So they're not disciples. So we can say this about the church. The church don't make disciples. They don't do it because they don't even ask people if they want to be. I'll ask people right up front. I've done it already. I've told people, if you're not going to follow Jesus, don't bother coming. You ain't going to have any of the benefits you think you're going to have. It's going to be of no benefit if you don't follow, if you don't get trained and become a disciple. Well, you think, I don't care what blessings God offers you, if you can't operate in it, it ain't working. It's not going to happen. And people need to know. Jesus made this statement, and he said, look, if a guy's going to build a tower, you first find out if you can, you can afford to build this thing. Why? Because you look like a fool. And you ever see a person end up look like a fool, they'll quit what they're doing. He said, if an army's coming against you, he said, you ought to go, if you can't, you better find out if you can whoop them. If you can't, you better go out there and talk to them about this thing. See if you make some kind of peace out of this thing. You don't want to do that. The whole emphasis was about following him. If you're not going to get in this thing to follow him, you check that out before you jump on the bandwagon. Well, they didn't teach us this stuff. They didn't tell us we were supposed to, and they're not telling people today. And this is where it comes into the things of training and why the Lord spoke to me about these things. Because, see, I was a volunteer to the military. I signed up. They didn't draft me. When I was in the military during Vietnam, the enlisted guys usually didn't care much for the guys who were drafted. Because the guys who were drafted, generally, their heart wasn't in what they were doing. And those guys you didn't like to have around because they ain't counted no costs. All they want to do is get in and get out. And they don't care if you get killed because of what they do. They don't care. This is all about me. And lots of times guys didn't like it. Now, they weren't all like that. Some guys got in, they did a good job. But a lot of them, people didn't want them around because their heart wasn't in what they were doing. And under military training, it's going to have to be like that. And that's one of the things is the Lord really dealt with me in that area. Listen what the Apostle Paul in Philippians to the church at Philippi made this statement about an individual in Philippians, the second chapter, because we're talking about this military, and this is the whole thing is we're going on, because these are the things that God began to deal with me on and showing me concerning military and about, set yourself to the principles that you followed then. Well, in Philippians, the second chapter, in verse 25, says this. Verse 25 says, yet I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. He said, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. But your messenger, your messenger and the one who ministers to my need. Now, he called this man a soldier. Because, and we're going to find out also, over in Philemon, the book of Philemon that everybody reads all the time. It's a very popular book. Okay. Philemon. In the first chapter, starting at the beginning at 1, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, and he said, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Here again, he mentions two names and he says, our fellow soldier. This is a, so in terms, this individual's a soldier. Now, Paul uses this. Now, we want to go over because using that term soldier, we find out what Paul's talking about when he uses the term soldier. In 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, we go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, because we want to look at this. The Apostle Paul, one thing you'll find out about the Apostle Paul ministered to Gentiles mostly. He did minister to Jews. In fact, he wrote the book of Hebrews. But he ministered to Jews, but you'll find that he used a lot, you'll find that he used terminologies about soldiers, he used terminologies about sports, and those kind of things. The Jew, you'll find, you don't find that in the Jewish writings. You don't find that over there in the disciples, the other disciples who were Jews, who mostly dealt with Jews. They didn't do that. Well, see, because the Greeks, and really, the Romans really followed the Greek philosophies and that stuff, and they took on a bunch of the Greek gods and all that kind of stuff, things that they did. But see, they had all this thing with soldiers. They had all these things with their gods or sports and all that kind of stuff and all those kind of things. They followed those things. People understood about that kind of stuff. They understood that in their culture and its use and what it meant to be a soldier in those days. And even in today, we have things in soldiering that are very close to what they did in the areas of soldiering. Now, in Timothy, Paul writes in 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, I'm going to start at verse 3, and this is what Paul says to Timothy. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Here are the term soldier. Now he's going to tell us what about this. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now I want to say this. When I enlisted in the army, and even till this day, if you enlist in the army, there's a lot of things concerning the Constitution no longer belongs to you. You don't have freedom of speech in the army. Do you know that? You can be court-martialed for saying something about your officers or something and making statements. There's guys that have been, I've followed things over the last few years. There's guys in that stuff been court-martialed and things out of the service because of making, even guys in the service made remarks about the president. He's the commander-in-chief, you know. You're in. You don't have freedom of speech. See, everybody gets it. The idea, see, this is one thing is most Christians today have no idea what the Bible's teaching. Because we have all these ideas about stuff. Here, Paul understood, it's like when I was in the service, when you were in the service, I mean, they owned you. We don't know anything about that. We talk about Christianity, people don't, if I want to go to church, if I don't want to go to church, if I want to follow God, I follow. If I don't want to, don't matter. Christianity, God loves you. And it's all going to be. Now, Paul says to Timothy, he said, no one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. See, that's why I went in the military. You went down to basic training. You went into basic training, you weren't allowed to call mom and dad. You weren't allowed to, you know, you were sold out to those people down there, and they were going to train you, and they were going to tell you when you were going to eat, sleep, whatever you were going to do. They were going to tell you when you were going to do it. And they did. They told us when we were going to do it. This is one thing as a military today is why the military doesn't just have a problem today with you know, leadership and stuff and do that. The quality of soldiers is very poor today. Undisciplined people. We need to understand this. Discipline has everything to do with developing spiritually. Discipline has everything to do with it. Paul said that a soldier, and he told Timothy, he was supposed to endure hardship like a soldier was. He's not to entangle himself in the affairs of life. And where one of the things, see, that we're at today is why there's very little spiritual development is because the church is totally entangled in the affairs of life. And actually, we have churches and they're, you know, these seeker-friendly, which are totally geared toward the affairs of life and getting people in the church involved in all the affairs of life. and people go to church, and it's to be involved in all the affairs of life. You know, churches are geared to help people head in the direction they want to go. And see, in military, when I went in the military, the affairs of life, you know, ended. I mean, you know, your girlfriend, you didn't get to call her. You know, you could write a letter to her, but you weren't going to see. You weren't allowed to have visitors. You went out. I mean, they told you what you were going to do, and you endured hardship. Let me tell you, you endured hardship. You got up early in the mornings. You went to bed late. They ran you, did all kinds of stuff, did everything to train you, put you under hardship. But it was one of the most amazing things. In 8 weeks, they did for you what I have never seen any of these professional trainers, sort of body trainers, say they can do for people. And the reason they can't is because nobody submits themselves to one of those trainers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't do it. You know, they'll go over and have a session. You know, they'll buy their tapes or DVD and watch TV and follow after them and do a little workout and that stuff and go by when they, and then, well, today I ain't going to do the workout. I'm busy. I'll never forget, we had a guy that came in and served. He was probably about 6'2", weighed about 100 pounds more than he needed on him. And it was amazing to watch over time. When he left, 8 weeks of basic training, God, they had to give him all new uniforms every so often because this guy, when he left, I'll never forget this, even the Marines, I had a guy that was, I went to school with, and he was a good-sized guy in that stuff and sort of build, but I'll never forget when he came home from basic training him in the Marines. My God. I mean, he was a totally different-looking man. I mean, dear Lord, what they did to him. But I'm going to tell you what. But you know, people understand, and this is one of the things, you can't wait. I can't give God a little bit of time here and there to come up to a spiritual development. Because to do it, it would take 10 years before I'd hit something. You just got to spend time. I don't know how to do it any other way. And the Lord told me, and this is the things that God began, to instruct me in. What did they do to get you over to train you? You had to give things up. Well, I found myself when I was a young Christian, when everybody else was running around doing stuff and all kind of things, the Lord wouldn't let. I had to be studying Bible. God would tell me, you know, you read the Word. I'd be listening to tapes. I would be, you know. I remember Saturday sometimes. I've spent Saturday, the entire Saturday in my bedroom. The entire Saturday. And dealing with the areas of training. And really, I didn't have to do that stuff all the time afterwards. But the initial training, you got to sell yourself out to because there ain't no other way. I don't know any other way to make this happen. I don't know. It's just like basic training. If the service didn't do that coming in, they'd have had to have you in the service probably for 10 years to get you into the person they wanted you to be. But they took you and they put it. I mean, I went like basic training they took through, and then afterward they'd sent me to a 32-week schools and training electronics. And they did to me in 32 weeks. What you can go to any school, any college in America, and take electronic engineering for 4 years, and you'll never end up knowing what we knew after 32 weeks. And I know that's true. I know a guy who teaches in a technical school, and he taught for years in technical school, and he said about this. He said, our technical students, he said, they come and they go to school all day just training in the areas of, they were training electronics. He said, that's all they did. They came to school in the morning till they went home. He said, my sister went to Penn State to become an electronic engineer. And he said, she spent 4 years at it. She said, our guys went 2 years to school. And she said, in 2 years of school, he said, she don't even shine a light on our guys, what they know and can do in electronics. Why? Because it's all they focused on. He said, she had 1 hour of practical training. She knew nothing. Come out of Penn State, he said, she's really a know-nothing. She don't know nothing. He said, our guys will get jobs immediately, and she'll have a tough time trying to get an entry-level job in electronics. Well, see, they spent concentrated time and disciplined amount of time. And that's what it did to us. We would 8 hours a day of classes, 8 hours a day. We'd get up in the morning, go to class, 8 hours of classes. And you sit, and that's all you did was electron. They drilled you and drilled you and drilled you and drilled you and drilled you some more and drilled you some more. And you spent 32 weeks. And it's amazing what you could pump into a person on that period of time. It's amazing. But one thing was so helpful because it was total concentration in that area. It was just because, you know, you didn't have 3 times a week one class dealing with your engineering electronics like college does. You might not have the same, you might have maybe 1 or 2 classes a week dealing with that. And then you have all these other classes you go on. And so when you sit down and look in a year's time, well, between the times that they get the, they end up forgetting more stuff that happened in the beginning. It was constant drill. They took us in constant drill, constant drilling us on basics of electronics and how it worked. Basic of electronics. The most amazing thing, after 32 weeks, they could turn around and put you on millions of dollars worth of equipment, millions and millions, and you could run it, operate it, and keep it running. Amazing! College will spend 4 years and put you on it, need another 4 years to train you so you can actually do it. You got 8 years in. And I knew this because we had, when I was in Nam, we had the tech reps from the companies come in. Most of our guys knew a lot more than the tech reps on specific equipment because we were so trained. And we knew the equipment in and out, man. These guys were general function on 500 pieces of equipment. They were the jack of all trades and the masters of none. They knew general electronics, but we were specialists on equipment. We were the stuff that we ran, we knew. We lived it every day. We were on sites every day. 7 days a week, I was on site. Operating and working on the equipment and doing it. If you wanted an expert, you didn't get the tech rep. You went and got one of our guys. They knew more about that stuff than anybody under the sun. And it didn't make, we weren't special. It was because they focused us in training on that stuff. And this is what you do. And you know what? You're the expert. You're the specialist. You're the guy. My words. I mean, you got so good. You had gone over those schematics. You wouldn't even have to pull a schematic. People wouldn't have to pull the schematics out after a while. You could almost see it in your mind, the schematic. You could almost see it in your mind. That's all you did. This is what we were. And we were just focused on that and trained on that and trained on that stuff. New equipment came in. Things were improvised, changed. Hauled you off down to a school. Took you and drilled you on that 8 hours a day. When I was in Nam, 2 times they went to because he bought new equipment. Took me down for 2 weeks. Set me down 8 hours a day. Drilled me for 8 hours a day for 2 weeks. Took me back. They didn't send some guy along with us to go back to help us do the things. They trained us on it, took us back, put us on the equipment. We ran it. Why? Because they focused and drilled us on it. And this is one of the things that we don't do in Christianity. Christianity today tries to give people always this. Most people trying to give them an overview and they never even really get a good. There's no specialty. There's no really training people in something and learning to do something. God trained me and taught me things through this. Now, the Apostle Paul, he made mention here again in this 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. He made in because he said here, he said, no one engages in warfare. And if I don't, you know, you need to understand this. You're in a warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. I mean, in our nation, what is going on is because of the lack of training in the church, there's nobody can deal with the warfare because they don't even know what's going on. They just think it's all about people. And they don't realize the demons out here that are doing stuff, and they can't fight against it because they don't know nothing about it. They're not trained in it. They can't sustain themselves. As soon as something happens to them, they quit. They, this is too hard. This is too this. So, we're supposed to, the guy who enlisted us, well, when I was enlisted in the army, I was sold out to them. Well, we're supposed to be sold out to Christ. And he says, look, and he says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he's competed according to the rules. In other words, you just don't, you know, it ain't like today. Well, everybody goes and everybody, you know, everybody gets a ribbon for you know, playing. You know, you all get one. Everybody's a winner. I'm sorry. Paul didn't believe like that. Why? Because there's no reason to train. If I can get the benefits, of the guy who worked at it without working at it. Why would I work at it? Well, see, this is the whole thing as we're dealing with today, is we're dealing with, we're living in a world and we're living in a Christianity, a false Christianity taught that Jesus loves you and God, you know, and you're just going to get blessed, God's going to take care of things. I'm sorry. Everybody, unless you complete what he said according to the rules, there's rules of how things are run. And if you don't know how it's run, you don't know. It's like I learned electronics. Electricity has rules how it runs. And if you don't know them, you could actually end up dead. You know, we had, you know, you talk about people talking about power supplies and our little electronics. My God, we had power supplies. My words, we had transmitters. Our transmitters might put out, you know, dear Lord, you'd have ones with 50, 60,000 watts. You know, 50, 60,000 watts? Go touch that thing where the output is. And they'll pick you up in another state somewhere in a cinder that burn you up. We didn't even wear our dog tags on the job because you didn't want those dog tags to fall out of your shirt when you're working on a piece of equipment and touch something you wasn't supposed to. They were metal in a metal chain around your neck. And you know what that is? Your eyeballs light up and your ears spin. Wrong things ain't good. I mean, you can open up some of our power amplifier cabinets and you can literally feel, when you open them up, you can feel it. You can feel that you open the cabinet up, through the air, you could feel the power that's going on in that thing in there. We had these, what they had, our transmitters and that stuff that transmit out. It was called a klystron tube. Actually, it's a big metal tube like this and had three fins on it. And inside of it's gold. It's all gold lined in the inside of it. That's how the plates are gold. And it was for, you know, for conduction of, but you'd have to adjust those things, and that's how you adjust it and tuned it to the right frequency. You adjust those plates on there. You don't mess with that. Don't play with that when you adjust it. You stand on an insulator pad about this thick. Because the bad thing, you touch something, you get into something in the wrong way. I mean, you do the wrong thing, it'll arc across and get you. You don't even have to touch it. It'll arc it, get you. So you don't want to be grounded to nothing. You don't want to be grounded to anything. You don't want it to pass through you. It's one thing for it to knock you away. It's another thing for it to pass through you. That's a different thing. If you're grounded, electricity will always find ground, believe me. It'll melt your shoes. And you know what, I'm on your feet being melted. That you don't want. But see, you had all those things dealing with. In other words, there was rules that things were done by. And if you didn't play by the rules, they might carry you out in a stretcher. You don't get a crown. There's rules. And we haven't really taught that concerning Christianity. We've taught this idea and people get, well, we're not under the law. But people don't realize law's about rules. Rules haven't, we might not be under the rules of the Old Testament where we have to go back and offer sacrifices and all this stuff. But God's kingdom's got rules to it. There's laws in its operation. And if you don't know them and you've not been trained in those laws, you know, it's just like, would somebody go like 2 years to law school and then get out? Do you want to, when you got a problem legally, do you going to go get that guy? You know, want somebody that's been to learn how to operate in the areas of law, you'd want somebody that knows about it to operate in it. Well, it's just like with us out here. We knew it, have to need to know how laws and rules operate. And this is where dealing with the soldier and the training. He said, just like an athlete, look what athletes go through. Look what these people do to be in the Olympics. You know, all these people marvel, look at that person, how talented they are, as if. And you know what most people think? They just have a natural talent. It's like I've heard many people who are skilled in things say, gee, if this is a natural talent, I sure had to work hard to get this natural talent to work. But you think about it. A person wants to compete in the Olympics. You know, you get a gymnast, and what will they do? They will get hired a coach, and they'll get a coach, and they go live with the coach. They don't live with mom and dad. People train in the Olympics don't live with mom and dad. The people who want to learn how to be do this stuff and live with mom and dad, they don't ever go to the Olympics. They go and somebody runs their life and trains them specifically. You know what those people do? They go there and all they do is focus on whatever it is skill that they have. And they're trained and trained and they practice that. And they'll take the same old thing and they will practice it so many times. So many times. Now, here's a principle of God's kingdom. Verse 6. Here's the principle of God's kingdom. This is a principle put down here. You probably heard the scripture, but you've never heard it in the light of what Paul taught Timothy. It's usually used differently. He's talking here about this guy whose hardship. He said, the hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. See, this is different in our society. Our society, in the church world today, you go work hard, and then you, the guy who don't work hard, you take care of them first. That's love. God's kingdom don't work like that. The guy who works hard is the guy that gets the blessing first. The person who don't gets the leftovers. This is the principle of the kingdom. The hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Now listen to what he says to this. Now after he wrote this, and I don't know, have you ever heard anybody teach on this, use these scriptures in the last 10 years? Listen, he says this. Paul writes this, verse 7. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Wow. This area of Scripture is definitely not understood today. And this is one of the spiritual problems that we're dealing with today in spiritual development. People want to develop spiritually, but they're not, following these principles laid out here. They doesn't really, what was Paul talking about being a soldier? Man, you were a soldier back, and Paul knew it was. The Roman military, they had these different, in the Roman military, they had these commanders and generals, and these guys would be, of different areas and that stuff, and they would do their own enlistment for the guys. And man, that was the guy that they listened to. He was guys, and the officers that were under him, that's who you were sold out to. It wasn't just about being sold out to Rome. They were sold out to that individual. They would do, and they gave their life, really, as in their enlistment, to follow that individual and what that individual would tell them and teach them and train them to do. Their whole focus was to become a soldier, to fight wars, Those soldiers were not civilians. They were sold out to that military commander. We don't understand those things today. And this is why it's like when people talk about, Jesus is Lord. I'm sorry, the church world almost knows nothing about what it means to be Jesus is Lord. That guy who signed up an enlistment back then, that guy who signed them up, he was their Lord. He was their leader. He owned their life. He ruled their life. And we don't understand. We don't know about that. Is in that area. We're not talked really about that. You don't understand about soldiers. Now in soldiering, I learned this in the military about soldiering. It's just like in basic training, I began to understand how they operate and run, because it never changes the whole time through the military. Is you start off, you're continually practicing the same things over and over and over. They don't care if when you did it right the first time. They don't care. Because you're going to do it 400 more times this week. Because what they do is, here's what training does over and repetitiveness. This is what it does to you. When you turn around and you've done things so repetitively, this is what takes place. When you get into combat, you just automatically do stuff. It isn't, you don't even think about it. Why? You have practiced this thing. You have done it. It is so repetitive. It's your lifestyle. This is what we do. Under these conditions, here's what we do. And that's what happens. Repetitive. Do you ever think about that, what you've learned? Like any skill that you've had, that you've worked at life at. Now, I would say I know this from, say, working in the areas of a computer and that stuff. Now, Josh knows a lot more about computers than I do. I have to think a lot more about certain things than he does. he'll just automatic. Why? Because of repetitively over and over doing certain things, he automatically when he's working on something, he automatically goes to that. He automatically knows things. He automatically, why? It was repetitiveness. You take anybody on any skills the same way. You know, you get a guy out who's a bricklayer. Do you ever think about how long people become apprentices and stuff like that would become apprentices to bricklaying till after a while? You know, you get that guy out there laying brick. You get me out there laying brick? Good Lord. We quit that shortly, you know. It'll be a mess. But you get a guy out there who's trained in it, and you watch him. He'll go out there and lay brick, and he takes mud and puts it on the thing, and he puts it down, slops that thing, and just goes to town down there. I mean, he don't sit there, boy, looking down his line to make sure everything's even. He knows. He just bam, 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 throwing mud on there. I do that. It gets all over everything. It gets all messed up. He knocks it, gets down through it. It's like, gee, you watch him do it. Why? He's been trained and trained and trained. He don't think about it. It's not a thinking like we do of trying to learn it. See, when you're trying to learn it, when you get to the thing, and you can know this, if you don't automatically go to something, well, then you haven't been trained enough. And here's one of the things that we do, especially from the basic standpoint. The basics is where you always want to continue back over and train. And that's what they did in the military. The military, even like they would turn around and teach us new like in our electronics, they would teach us on new equipment. And they would train us in that, but they would always take us back over the fundamentals of basic electronics. Why? Because if you don't have the basics of fundamental electronics, you don't, I will tell you what, you're going to become, even though at one time you may have been a good troubleshooter, you won't be anymore. Because what will happen, you'll overlook things. You'll overlook some practical stuff that if you would have checked, you're over here trying to find a problem over here, and I saw guys do it. They would get away from their fundamental stuff, and they would get over here trying to find a problem where there wasn't a problem. Because if they would have started and followed their fundamental principles, they would have found out the problem wasn't where they were looking. You know, I've seen people turn around, didn't have any power to the equipment, and they're over here in the IF unit trying to get this thing to work, and they're over there, you ain't going to get it. We got a power supply problem. But that's what they train you to teach in basic electronics. They tell you in troubleshooting, you start, you make sure that the power, you check to make sure power's right coming out of there. Because your power supply is putting off more than one, one voltage, and you got to make sure that the voltages are right coming out on it. Because if they ain't, you going on the rest of the thing, you're finding problems here and there and here and there, and it all started back there. And if you're messing down here, you're spending all kind of time doing stuff that would make a bit of difference when you had a 3.3 volt, you know, a 0.3 something voltage over here that was supposed to be all that ain't there on the power supply. And you're down here messing around, wondering why things ain't working right. And if you'd have went back there and checked that stuff in the beginning, you'd have known it. And so there's things they taught us that you don't overlook. So what they do is they always take you back over and train. They take you back over basics. You find in athletics does it, football. Every time a football team ain't doing well, we need to go back over the basics again. You know, we need to go, we're just getting all, and what they do, they say, oh, we just got need to learn some new plays. That's what we need. No, they don't do that. Yeah, we need to, you know why? Because the plays that they're doing, they're not doing them right because the guys are not remembering fundamentals. So what they'll do is they will take them out training every day. They show up for camp every day, 8 hours a day, and they run them through fundamentals. To why? When they get out on the field, they'll just do them. When the play starts, they just do them. So you keep practicing at those things, so you keep doing. And that's one thing, see, I learned about the military. People didn't like things about the military, and I remember I didn't like it. Repetition. Oh, my God, repetition. Just hated it. But repetition's what made you good. That's what made you really good. Your repetition made you excellent. Because you got over the thing when you actually came down to doing your job. I remember when I, you know, because we did all kind of training when I was in the state. Stateside, we did training. I went to Fort Huachuca, Arizona, and we had our microwave sites out there, they're portable microwave sites on the back of trucks. And you would take them out and set them up. And all we did was train. They would take us out, set us up for a few days. We'd go out, set the site up, get the site running, get the parabolic dishes set up so they were in line to the other sites, you know, and you'd go through this whole thing and all this set up. And you get everything up and running, and all your channels are up and running, and all communications on everything's running, and then you shut it down. Load all the gear back up again. Tear down everything. Put it back. Everything's back in the truck again. You drive the truck back to base 2 days later. Okay, out. We're going to such and such a place now, and this is where your coordinates setting up your site. You're going to be shooting a signal over here to this place, and you go out there, tear everything, get it, do go through all over again. Then you shut it down. We were Strategic Communications Command. Our job was, if war started, you went in first. You know, infantry ain't just always the guys going. People always think I'm going, communications. Yeah, communications, everybody's in trouble. Communications is a big thing. We were Strategic Communications Command. Our whole thing was to set up UHF sites and at that time, microwave sites, set them up, get them in and run. And that's what we did. And so that's the whole thing. You, war started, you went in. You get the communications running for them so they can, all the units can be in contact with each other, and they're getting the information they're supposed to have and all this kind of stuff. You went in doing all these kinds of things. But that's the whole thing of it is. I'm going to tell you what, we could get a site up and running. I mean, quick. My words, we could go out and get a site set up and online. Amazing how fast you could do that stuff. And the only reason we're good at doing it, we just did it. My words. After a while, go and set up that site. Everybody knew what they needed to do. And when the team got out there, nobody thought to sit around and talk these things over, what guy needed to do or this and that. Everybody knew. We had done it so many times. This guy's doing this. This guy's taking care of that. This guy's are doing the antenna out here. This guy's getting the stuff turned on, getting things prepped, ready to get that site up and running. Guys, you know, they're running the cables. We had coaxial cables that were this big, gold line things. I mean, cost a fortune. I forget what our coaxial cables cost for our units and that stuff. They weren't like the little cables for your TV. We'd have fried them suckers right off. They were all gold lined to the inside and that stuff. And I forget how much a foot. They told us how much that stuff cost. I mean, it is a fortune. And you only used it for so long, and then you replaced it. You didn't just keep using it. You keep everything running so that under combat conditions, you want everything running. You don't want to end up having done the maintenance you should have and things go down. You just continually do that. But see, that's all part of the training. And they ran you through that of doing it. Now, we need to understand is the same way of using that same principle concerning spiritual things and developing spiritually. The things that we need to do, develop spiritually, as we will go into them, is learning to take these things and put these things into action to do them, even when it doesn't seem like you need to do it. I think I know. Well, I've been there. I thought I've known. And then next thing you know, it's like Brother Hagin used to say, yes, and then all of a sudden you find yourself where your feet are where your head used to be. He had experienced that too, so don't feel bad. If it happened to you, you ain't the only one it happened to, so don't. Here's what happens, and here's what we need to understand this. If you learn this about God, as soldiers, what they did to us is the same thing God will do to us. And God does many times to us. He did it to Kenneth Hagin. Soldiers are put through controlled hardship when they're being trained, so they can endure the hardship that'll come in real battle. What they do is they implement things like battle, but now they're designed that you aren't supposed to get killed out there. See, but when you get into battle, it's the other guy is going to try to kill you. You know that. So, but controlled circumstances. You need to understand God does the same thing to his children. The Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin and said, I allowed you to go through certain things so you could teach my people faith. In other words, God ran him through controlled circumstances where really the devil had access to him on things. But it wasn't to kill him or destroy him. It was so he could learn some things. And see, some people don't realize that the hardship things sometimes that come along in us are the greatest training places that God has developed for us. It's a controlled circumstance. Now think about it. This is what the Bible says. Paul wrote and said God wouldn't allow anything to come, any test to come on you, that he would not provide a way out. He said he wouldn't do it. See, many times people know the way out, but when they get in the circumstances of training, they get into discomfort. They've never learned to develop, to keep their flesh under control, and they quit, and they don't do the right things. You know, they used to test us, and they tested us. They'd put you in gas. You know, they would hit you with gas and that stuff out there. They'd CS gas and something called riot gas and things like that. That's very discomforting. It's not fun. And they hit you with that, then you got to get your gas. Now, you'd have a firefight going on. You get hit with gas. You're trying to maintain your firefight and get your gear on, get your gas mask on and that stuff so you could breathe regularly and you would quit, you know, the tears just pouring out of your eyes and the burning of your skin. And even after you get the mask on, and they're like down, I was down in Georgia and it's hot and you sweat. And the more you get hot and sweat, the more CS gas burns your skin. Because it's sweat and CS gas don't go well together. I don't know why. But anyhow, it burns your skin. And you're there doing all this stuff, and your skin is irritating you like crazy. And you're trying to perform combat stuff. And you can't, you know, you got to get yourself a mindset that I'm in combat. If I'm in real combat, I can't get focusing on this, the irritation of my skin. Somebody kill me. You know, well, you get out there, you know, you got to learn to take care of yourself. And this is what they were controlled things that were done to us to train us. So when the real problems came, when the real things happened, you knew what to do. And so, you know, we did the same thing in electronics. They would have controlled problems that they would put in. We would have equipment that we were being trained on. These equipment, they had these controllers that were hooked into the equipment that they could cause certain problems to happen to the equipment. Now you got to find where the problem is at. You got to find where that thing is. So, and I tell you what, ain't a better way to train people. So they would turn around and they would do whatever and cause a problem here, there, or somewhere. And you had to find out where the problem was and it'd cause a problem. It was all controlled. It was a controlled problem. It was testing us to practice the things that we did. And you know, over time of them doing that to you, after a while, man, you learned. You knew where to go. And I mean, they could cause problems in anything under the sun. They could do all kinds of stuff. But it was all controlled. But it was to train us. When you were out there and got on the job, you were sure glad you went through that controlled training. That was good. Because I tell you what, you would find out the problems really, really quick. We were, like when I was in Nam, after going through all that stuff of training, the one site we were on in Dragon Mountain and that stuff, and the oldest guy we had was 23 years old. I was 19, and most of the other guys were about 19, too. 19, 20. That's all we were on the site. All those young guys. We got millions of dollars, millions and millions and millions of dollars. Today, how much it would be worth. The difference in the dollar from back then. But we have all this, and we're running these sites. And we had no downtime. We keep our sites running. We knew what to do. They trained us. You know what to do. You know what to look for when something even starts to arise a little bit. Keep things up and running. They were very happy with us. They liked us because we kept that baby was running all the time. They loved it. And so but all that came to pass. It wasn't because we were some great guys. We had a lot of good training. The training that we had. And in other words, being trained and actually doing things, not just sitting in classes. You didn't just sit in classes and just hear things. Learn to do things. And so we were doing that stuff. A soldier, and I learned, you know, in military, a soldier had to continually, and we'll stop here, but the soldier must continually practice the things he's taught. So when he is, you know, in battle or whatever he's doing in his job, he will do what he was taught without thinking about it. That's what he does. So you go back over. You know, it's always interesting. You would get units in combat. And what they'd do is they'd send them out into combat. And you would find this in the Second World War. They'd put units out into combat. Did you ever watch Band of Brothers, Second World War? And I have the things that it's like 6-7, something like that, DVDs. It was made, actual true story of the 101st Airborne. And you sit down and look at these guys. They were out in battle in the Second World War. They would be taken off the line and brought back at a time to rest. And they would rest, let them rest for a week or so. Take them back over and start basic trainings all over again before they'd send them back into combat. Well, on there, I watched it. The guys complained about it. Oh, we need it. They don't realize this stuff saves your life. Just like me, why do I have to do this? But when you're out there able to breathe and still walking around, they got a hole in your head, you're pretty happy. You know what I mean? And that's, we have to understand that. That's when we're dealing with these things, and this is why going back over things. And just in closing, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. And I saw things that he did. And one of the things that when I first heard him talk about these things, over time he would talk about situation would arise and what he would begin to do. And it was really amazing because he talked about the statement the first time I think I heard him use about it. He talked about with his daughter. He was away ministering. Brother Hagin was away a lot from his family, an awful lot. Brother Hagin would be away from his family sometimes months on end. He would drive overnight if he got close enough to someplace just to drive to come and have breakfast in the morning with his family and get in the car and drive back to the place to wherever he was just to spend a little time with his family. But he got a call from his wife, and his wife said that their daughter had some kind of growth started on her head. And she said about it, and she talked to Brother Hagin, and he was at some meetings. And she said the nurse is going to be coming in the school and checking kids. When she comes in, they're going to tell us we got to do something about this thing. And so she told him, wife told him about it. And Brother Hagin told his wife that he'd take care of it. So, but anyhow, here was Brother Hagin's taking care of it. This is me. He didn't pray right away. Now, if you want to know somebody that knew about faith and understood faith and healing, you'd think Brother Hagin would be the guy. He'd just off the spur of the moment. You know, he didn't do that. Brother Hagin went back to basic training. Brother Hagin told what he did. He said, what I did, he said, after my services, my night services, I would go back, and in my day service, he had day service, night service, I would go back after the service, and I'd get scriptures out on healing, and I'd meditate on them. And meditate on what he's doing, going over the basics. He's going on back what the scripture says. He's going over those basics. He said, I'd go back, and I would do that every night. And he said, then, he said, I did that for a few nights where I would go back over, and he said, then I knew I was ready. And he said, I made a confession about that lump on my daughter's head, and when the nurse showed up, it was gone. You see, most people see, I know what to do. So they'll just go ahead and do it and don't think about it, you know. And sometimes they're not ready. Many times people aren't ready. We're too quick. Brother Hagin used to, we're too quick to pray about things. We don't make sure that we're ready on the inside to release. And so what he would do, see, he never quit going over the basics. He never quit doing that. And that's one thing as I learned from him. The Lord taught me from that standpoint, is just like in the military. The military never took it that I just knew and that I didn't need to be trained again. They never thought it that way. They never thought that way about it. And they took us and trained us and trained us. My my nephew, who is an F, I guess, well, he's an F-16 or F-18 pilot, one of the two. I don't know. But anyhow, he's on a base up in Wisconsin or someplace, on a base up there. He's the squadron commander. He's a commander of a squadron up there. Now, he's a really important position. And, this guy's, he's up there. And you know what they do? They train all the time. Now, this guy has flown in war. He's done all kinds of things. But they don't quit training. They don't stop. And those are the guys that you want when something starts. You want to have them fly your jets in the sky. You don't want the guy that's been,
you know, not training for 20 years and gets in a jet and says, well, let's go do something. Well, we'll be pulling his body out of the wreckage then, and we'll... It's a constant thing. And we use the, if you find these principles, one of the things I want you to understand, it's not some burdensome stuff. It's not burdensome. When you understand that, it's like anything, you understand the payoff and the benefit of things. It's like, whoa, this stuff works. This stuff really works. It's just like when I teach. I go back and study this stuff. I've studied this before. It's how I got my notes. But I don't assume that I know what I knew even the last time I taught it. It's amazing how many times I go back and I start reading over notes and studying, looking up scriptures. And I'll find out the scripture, but I'll look them up and read the scriptures before and after. And I think, man, yeah, I wasn't thinking that way about that. I probably knew it before. I probably saw that before. But in my notes, I don't write everything down I see in the notes. I think, yeah, that's a good style. I better note on that one. But that's by going back over the basics of that teaching. I go back over that thing, and I go back and I refresh myself and go back to it. And so we need to learn to do that. And as we'll go on, then we'll go into the principles, the actual principles of what we do, and you'll see what God revealed in Scripture. But I wanted to lay that out today. Those are the things that the Lord especially put in me when He started to train me about it, and use my military experience as to teach me how to be good at it. Really is developing, and what they did to make people experts at what they do. And Brother Hagin used to say it all the time. He said, most Christians are the jack of all trade and the master of none. He said, we need to master things. We need to do that. And I don't blame Christians today for it. They're not being taught to do it. They're not. Man, when I came in the kingdom, this was basic teaching. It's not today. You'll go into a church and never hear any such thing like this. You know, they won't even consider teaching anything like this. They won't. And we need to have these things and understand them. Why? So we want to become proficient. At least I do, anyhow. But I think many Christians do. But they can't. They don't know how. They've been told, you know, you just do this, do that. You'll be okay, you know. And then things don't work out okay. Things end up a mess for them, and life gets all messed up. And they can't get it fixed. And they've done everything they were told to do, and they don't get it. They don't understand. Well, they've done what they were told to do. But the guy telling them what to do didn't even know what to do. Hallelujah. So these things that we're going to go over, the teach then, these are things that Kenneth Hagin has taught. I practiced them and they worked. So I ain't going to write a new book on it. What he said works. I mean, it's like, it works. We're going to do it. I learned from him the fact of is what he put into things. And here's one of the things about it. I had the opportunity to listen and learn from Kenneth E. Hagin. And there's one thing his brother Hagin taught us, and he would always say to us in school, he would say, there's a lot of things that you don't have to go through that if you'll listen to me, he said, I'll teach you things. He said, it took me years to learn. But I can teach you. So, you can really end up ahead. And that's what we did. We ended up ahead. Because we didn't have to. He had learned a lot of things. He didn't have people to teach him. And he had learned a lot of things through experiences and stuff and things that he had. And learned over time in the Word, where we learned things from him without having to go back through the experiences of him. Like just in the areas considered financial prosperity, about healing and things. They didn't even know. You know, people take for granted things about healing. People he's around didn't even know about it. They didn't even understand about it. And he learned this stuff over time, and through what he could show you to do, you get a hold of it without having to go through all the stuff that he had to go to get a hold of it. Hallelujah. So we could actually do a lot of things and a lot better. It would be like me going into basic training, and I don't have anybody to teach me basic military training. So what I'm going to have to do is figure out what I can do best myself, and then get into battle and see if it works. Well, thank God there was people who already went into the battles and learned what worked and didn't, and taught me the things. Thank God. Man, I'd have needed more than 8 weeks of basic training. My Lord, I'd have needed a century or two. But see, other people learned from other, and they turned around and gave us information that we could do things that how long would it taken me to learn about battle? I mean, I wasn't born in a home we were walking around. You know, I wasn't born in Bosnia and we were shooting at each other from birth. You know, I didn't know about that. And, you know, we were pretty civil. Well, sometimes we kids weren't real civil, but we nobody killed anybody else. But we did try a few times. But anyhow, so, you know, there's a lot of things we learn, and that's why is learning these things can help us go a long way of a lot of things we won't have to spend huge amounts of time trying to figure certain things out. We can just spend our time developing in what the truth already says was known, which means you'll get results a lot quicker. Hallelujah. That's why I only had to go 32 weeks to school in microwave electronics. My words, if I had to figure out electronics on my own, dear Lord. 32 weeks would have been nothing. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for teaching us and instructing us in the Word. Thank you for enlightening us. Father, we do appreciate all who have gone on before us, who have learned things and taught things, and Lord God, we learned from them. And we just so much appreciate that. We appreciate the great Holy Spirit, Lord God, who has been very patient with us to guide us and lead us into the truth and to teach us things. And our great desire is to grow up spiritually, and we thank you as we follow through in these teaching, Lord God, that we are going to develop spiritually, hallelujah, Lord God, where we can walk to fulfill your plans and your purposes, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.